A little over 45 years ago, I was part of a small group of people who started this church. As it happened, I began to be paid by the church as a leader about a year later, which was not really what I anticipated at the beginning. And what an adventure it has been. Now it's time for me to move on to the next stage. I'm ready to give up the week-to-week responsibilities. Ted is doing well as my successor, and he has finally agreed to let me move on to the next stage. So the end of this week, this coming April 15th, will be my last day functioning as a paid pastor and leader of this church. The church council has graciously given me a paid six-month sabbatical, but at the end, on October 15th, I will actually retire. And we'll have a big celebration on Saturday, October 16th, and you'll get more details on that as we get closer. It's important for you to know I'll still be around. I'm not moving away. I have 5 grandkids here. Not to mention all of you. And I have promised, and I do expect to help from time to time. I have promised Ted that I would help here and there afterwards. And I do thank God for the privilege of serving his people for these 45 years. And as I think back on these 45 years, I'd like to draw your attention to the words of Jesus in Matthew 16, 18. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now, when we began, we had some ideas about what we were aiming for. Some of those ideas worked out better than others. We knew that we wanted to worship with guitars, what is now called contemporary worship. For a while, that was really revolutionary. Hard to believe now, but it was then. And nearly everybody does it now. We knew that we were aiming for a church that valued relationships and community, and that turned out to be both very valuable and also difficult. There are some in this church that have been here all or nearly all of our history. We know who each other are. We have shared joys and sorrows, victories and tragedies, and it's all been better for doing it together. But it's also turned out that relationships are often difficult, especially in a modern mobile society. People come for a short time and then move on for one reason or another. The people who do come bring, of course, all their hurts and sorrows and brokenness, and sometimes that makes loving relationships difficult. And actually, I think that is part of the point, that we should learn to love people we didn't pick. But it wasn't our ideas that built this church into what it has become or catalyzed the things that came out of this church. And it's important for you to know that. This church that we see now was not what we pictured. It's so much more. It's almost impossible to have words for it. It was the intervention of Jesus by the Holy Spirit that built this church. Things have happened that I couldn't even imagine at the beginning. And that's what this verse says. Jesus is the one who builds the church. And that's how it should be. I did not build this church. Jesus built this church. Ted is not going to build this church for the next you know, however many years he gets. Jesus is going to continue to build his church. And I believe that if the church isn't visibly and experientially supernatural, it's not really the church Jesus intended, and our labors will prove to be in vain. Like, what's the point of having a church if God isn't in it? We were able to go for a few years, mostly on the strength of a couple good ideas. But it wasn't long before our new church needed something else. We were brand new and we already needed to be renewed. And it wasn't that motivating anymore. And so we began a period of prayer. We prayed for a couple of years in all kinds of ways. We prayed every which way we could think of just to keep you all praying. We had prayer chains and prayer nights and, you know, prayer meetings and all-night prayers and so many different ways. We prayed for about 2 years, and nothing happened. But then we met the Vineyard Movement, and when we met the Vineyard Movement, we met the Holy Spirit and his power in a whole new way, and that's when everything changed. It was like our boat went from rowing technology to nuclear power. On one night in 1986, the Holy Spirit surprised us. We prided ourselves on being a thoughtful, balanced, sane group of people. Well, that night, more than half of us ended up on the floor shaking and crying. And it didn't stop. Every Sunday, every small group meeting, every leaders gathering, when we invited the Holy Spirit to come, a whole bunch of people would be overwhelmed, overpowered by the power of the Spirit. All kinds of people started getting healed, which had never happened before. And people started confessing their sins out loud. Many of us were led to go back to relationships broken long ago and make amends. People started getting set free of all kinds of old destructive patterns in their life. And sometimes it would happen right in the middle of the worship. They just couldn't even wait for the prayer time. And it was wonderful. It was exciting. The presence of God was so close, so real, so tangible. It was almost all we could think about. It was like floating in an ocean of God's mercy. And lots of people heard about it, and lots of people started coming. Some of them came from far away. All were desperate for God and for his presence. But it wasn't just a short-term experience. It turned into a great expansion and multiplication. And since then, we have seen hundreds and hundreds come to faith. We've seen an uncountable number of healings and other miracles. For a few years, we joined with other Vineyard churches, sending teams to other countries to teach about the kingdom of God and kingdom ministry. We paid our own way and used up all our vacation time to get in on it. And we saw amazing miracles. In South Africa, we saw a lame man walk. In England and Ireland, both, we saw the blind healed and ears opened. Once a few years back, here in Chicago, a young man about to die after being hit by a train was miraculously restored. Cancers have disappeared, and so many other wonderful things. I remember there was one young man who came with us on one of those trips, and he had to explain to everyone at work what he was doing in order to get the time off, because he was the very bottom of the totem pole. So on the plane coming back home, I says, well, they're all going to ask you what happened on your trip. What are you going to tell everybody? And he said, I'm going to tell them that it's all true. Everything in the Bible is all true. As a result of this outpouring of God's presence and power, hundreds of young people came through our doors in search of training in this new ministry. Many then went on to lead or begin other churches. We started new churches all around the Chicago area. There are now like over 20 in the Chicago area alone. Then we started churches in other cities and other nations. And we have started out of this church at least 25 other churches during this time. And we've sent out additional hundreds, literally hundreds, as pastors to help lead other churches. One of those young couples came to us from Ireland. They came because there was a young Catholic boy in Dublin who thought he was going to be an accountant. But he came to one of the meetings, and in the middle of the worship, he had a powerful encounter with God. I mean, completely undone. We literally had to drag him out of the room so the teaching could happen because he was making so much noise. And God, in that encounter, which lasted several hours, called him to begin a new church. And he ended up coming here for training. Later on, another young couple went to Northern Ireland, and as a result, there are now dozens of Vineyard churches in Ireland that are also experiencing the supernatural work of Jesus in their midst. As a result of God's power at work among us, an opportunity came to help new churches emerge in Turkey, and today we have 6 Vineyard churches in Turkey and 1 in Azerbaijan, and we don't know how many house churches in Iran that have flowed out of what began one night in Evanston. People went to Kenya, Uganda, India, England, Ireland, China, Tajikistan, and Korea to serve for longer terms, and everywhere there were signs and wonders telling everyone that it's all true and Jesus is alive. When we began, we were mostly young white college graduates. Then Jesus intervened. And as a result, we have become one of the most diverse churches in the nation, culturally, racially, and economically, which honestly, in the beginning, I thought it was impossible that it couldn't happen, but God did it anyway. And we're still trying to catch up with what God has done. Every time I see you all and just look at you, I see a miracle. By the grace of God, we have also been able to serve the needy in our community in many, many ways, growing more by the year. And by the grace of God, we've been able to serve well our children of all ages for more than an entire generation. But without God's power, none of it would have been possible. None of it. Because of God's power, it became so much more than any of us could have imagined. All of which points not to me, or to any of those of us in the group that began, not to any of us as people, but to the fact that Jesus is in the church and he is building the church if we will let him do it. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his first disciples, "Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's the key. Waiting and receiving the power of the Spirit. There is yet more, much more to happen that needs to happen in our church, in our city, in our nation, around the world. But we shouldn't try without once again receiving that power that will energize our witness to all of Chicago and to the ends of the earth. You who are listening are a part of this story. And the story isn't over. It's time for the torch to be passed to the next generation, to steal a phrase from one of our presidents of the past. God has given Ted a vision for reaching a bigger portion of the metro area of Chicago, as well as a new era of evangelism and empowering. Great things are coming. Many people will be needed, and many people will be changed. And my prayer is that what began all those years ago will continue and keep expanding for another generation and another generation after that. Remember, the Church of Jesus is ultimately unstoppable. We may stumble, we may fail, we may struggle, but yet we remain unstoppable. Why? Not because of us, but because Jesus is in the church. The future is great, even though it may not exactly look like the past. In the 21st century, people are desperate for an encounter with God, for something bigger than themselves to live for. These newer generations can be reached for Jesus, but for that to happen, we must once again be overpowered by the Holy Spirit. And as I'm wrapping this up, I think God's looking for a new generation willing to be swept away by God and used in whatever way he wants. And I'd like to ask you to respond right now. If you are under the age of 35, you can be a part of it. And my request would be, if you're watching at home or if you're here in the building, would you just stand where you are? Stand here in the room. If you're under 35 and you're willing to be a part of this, just stand. You know, you could be telling your own stories one day, but you've got to say yes to Jesus up front. So, Lord, right now I pray that you will send your Spirit in new way again to these who are standing, who are saying, yes, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want to go. Take me, use me, send me, wherever, whenever, however. And Lord, may you fill them and amaze them with your grace and your power. Amen. One last thing. If you are among those who are standing, you're in your 20s, early 30s, Ted would like to invite you to a Zoom call just for you on April 29th to join. And I think you're going to be receiving more information on that in the next week or two. Thank you, and let Jesus have his way. Amen.